Spring is here, and we're having an early spring. Had some 85-degree weather this week. I had to mow the yard, and got flowers blooming out in the yard, and got a little taste of winter back today, but I think we're having an early spring. Had a pretty cold winter this year, though. The story about an Indian chief, the people came to him, and they said, "What kind of winter are we going to have? Is it going to be a cold winter?" And the chief, wanting to show leadership, he said, he didn't really know, but he said, "Well, yes, it's going to be cold winter. Everybody should go out and gather wood." So the people went out and they gathered wood. The chief went and found a phone booth and called the National Weather Service. And he said, "Is it going to be a cold winter?" And they said, "Yes, it is." So the chief went back and he told the people, he said, "It's going to be very cold this year. Y'all keep gathering wood." And a few days later, the chief went back to the phone booth again. He called the National Weather Service and said, "Is it going to be really cold?" And they said, "Yes, it's going to be really cold this winter." So he went back and told the people one more time. He said, "Gather all the wood you can, every little small stick, everything you can find." And he called the National Weather Service one more time. And he said, "Are you sure it's going to be really, really cold? And how do y'all know this anyway?" And they said, "Well, all we can tell you is that the Indians are gathering wood like crazy." So, I'm going to trust the Lord this morning to speak to you. And I'd like for you to pray with me that we would just have open hearts to receive and to hear what God has for us. Father, we do open our hearts to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would lead and guide me today, Lord, as I share your word, that I would share exactly what you would have me to. Help me to do that, Father. And I ask you, Lord, as your word goes forth today, Lord, that faith would rise. Lord, that through your word that people would receive healing in their spirit. Lord, that through your word that strength would come. Fresh vision, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, I think our winter is pretty much over. And we're going to have an early spring. But I want to tell you this morning that I believe it is the word of the Lord to us today that for us as a church, spring is here. We need to understand that just as there are natural seasons, there are also spiritual seasons that we go through personally, and also churches go through spiritual seasons. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis 8. Verse 22, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Now, I think that tells us a little bit about the stability of the earth's climate and this world that God has made. But I think there's a greater reason why these words are recorded in Scripture, not just to tell us about the climate of the earth, but to tell us about seasons, and more specifically about spiritual seasons. He says very plainly, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be summer and winter. We need to understand that spiritually, there are times of sowing and there's times of reaping. There's times of winter and times of summer. Spiritually, spring is a time of newness. It is a time of freshness, excitement. Things begin to bud out and to grow. And as I said, I already had to mow the yard and had flowers bloom. And I looked at my little oak trees that I planted just a few years ago. And you got to get up close and look at them real good. But all of those limbs have little buds on the end. And you know what? When we spiritually have springtime, you see the evidences of new growth beginning. Spiritual summer is a time of abundance and freedom. It is a time of harvest. It's a wonderful time of fast growth and reaping, bringing in. Spiritual autumn is a time of transition. loss, uncertainty. It's a time to scale back. It's a time that the growth slows eventually to a halt as winter approaches. Now, fall is my favorite time of the year in the natural, but spiritually, it is a time when things are beginning to get ready for that cold of winter. Spiritual winter is a time of difficulty. It is a time that can be discouraging. There's restriction and severity and death, a lack of fruitfulness. It can be a barren and hard season. Don't want to stay there. Today, March 1st, marks the 5th anniversary of Carmen and I coming back to Grace as pastors. I officially started in the office on March 1st, 5 years ago. And I don't believe that it is an accident or coincidence that the Lord has given me this word to share with you today, that today, spring is here for Grace Church. When I came back to pastor at Grace 5 years ago, it was with some excitement, but with more fear and trembling, realizing all that was before us in the call of God and the struggles and the transitions that would take place. And I just have to tell you, I am way more excited today about what God has for Grace Church. And truly am just turned on about what God is going to do this year at Grace Church. I believe we have entered in to a spiritual springtime here at Grace. There was a time when we had to scale back and gather in. There was a time of loss and uncertainty. Then there were seasons of difficulty and maybe even discouragement, fruitlessness, and even a dying away of some things. It was necessary for us to go through those seasons in order for us to get ready for all that God wants to do in us and through us. You know, 5 years ago when I came, and for many, many months, I preached messages about fruitfulness. I preached messages about new things. We talked a lot about growth and a harvest coming in. And we needed those messages. We needed the hope and the vision that those words brought to us because of the fall and winter season that was before us as a church as we went through transition and as we have prepared for the things that God wants to do in us and through us as a church now. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, we certainly all enjoy the spiritual seasons of spring and summer, but fall and winter are necessary and valuable to our spiritual growth, both as individuals and as a church. We're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a season for uprooting, tearing down, for mourning. And we had to go through some of those things as a church. It is now a time to plant. It is a time to build. It's a time to laugh and to dance. Amen. Now, all of us go through difficult times in our personal life. All of us go through those kinds of things. And when we go through a spiritual winter, It can be so discouraging that we just say, we just want to say, why, Lord? Why is this happening? And why don't I feel the same as before? Or why am I not experiencing the same blessings and the same wonderful things that happened in my life in the past? Why am I going through this? You know, looking back now, I understand a lot more. Hindsight is always 20/20. But when we're looking forward, and when we are right in the midst of a spiritual winter, we just have to walk by faith. We don't see, but we just walk by faith and trust God. You know, in the natural, when we have a really mild winter, a lot of times people will say things like, boy, isn't this a great winter? 75, 80 degree days in December and January, this is a great winter. But the farmers don't think so, because they know that we need some good hard freezes to kill off the bugs. And if the bugs are not killed off during the winter, then when the growing season comes and harvest time comes, the bugs will destroy the crops. We need those good hard freezes to get rid of the bugs. And I'm telling you that in our lives spiritually, sometimes we go through a winter where there is discouragement, there's difficulty, sometimes there's that scaling back and maybe even a dying away of some things, that through that, God gets rid of some of the bugs in our life. And we are ready for a new harvest. We're ready for new growth and new things that God wants to do in our life. So how can spiritual winter be a good thing? Because we need the bugs to die off at times in our lives. Things, anything that would destroy what God wants to do in your life. Anything that would destroy the fruitfulness that God wants to produce in your life. Now for us, bugs would be anything that's sinful. Anything that is unhealthy. Anything that speaks of compromise. Pride is certainly a bug that can destroy the harvest, the fruitfulness in your life. Unforgiveness is something that we all have to deal with. It is a bug that will certainly render you barren. It will keep you from producing any fruit to God's glory. Unforgiveness will destroy what God wants to do in and through your life. Anger and resentment can very quickly destroy the blessing of God, cause you to be unfruitful. You know, as a witness for the Lord and allowing the Lord to use you to minister to others, anger and resentment will absolutely destroy your Christian testimony and what God would have done through you. So those are bugs and things that in the difficult times, God wants to deal with those issues in our heart so that we are ready to be fruitful for Him. All of us go through those kinds of seasons and we all face winter. I want you to hear me now. How often you face a spiritual winter, and even more importantly, how long you stay there, for the most part is determined by the choices that you make. We got to make the right choices. Any kind of immorality, a lot of times family turmoil and trouble, the wrong kinds of friends, those things can be a bug in your life that will destroy your fruitfulness. I want to give you an example. Every year, our young people go to camp. Right now, they're about to go on a retreat in March. And young people, as you know, you go and you have these wonderful experiences with God. You encounter God in a very special way. And I've seen it again and again and again. You know exactly what I'm talking about, that how God will just change your life. And you experience some things with God that you just say, I'll never be the same again. And yet, when you come home, for many of you, you've got friendships that are unhealthy. You go right back to patterns and habits that are bugs that destroy the fruitfulness of what God was doing in your life. Now, all of us need to realize that the same thing can be true of us. God does great things in our life, and yet if there are bugs in our life, if there are things in our life that shouldn't be there, it will undermine and destroy what God was doing in our life. So in that spiritual winter, we need to realize that many times there are some things in us that God wants to deal with so that we will be ready for future personal growth. This is not just a message for the church. This is for each of us personally. Anything that will hinder your growth in God and your fruitfulness needs to die out. We can find ourselves camping out in a spiritual winter if we're not willing to let go of those things. Jesus said in John 15, 1 and 2, He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes it. He prunes it so that it will bear even more fruit. You see, God prunes us so we'll bear even more fruit. But I want you to see this, is that the Lord is very serious about this fruit-bearing thing. It brings glory to God. Verse 8, He says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, as a church, there are certainly bugs that we need to deal with because the church is us. Hello? Y'all are awfully quiet. The church is me and you. We are the church. The church is not this building. It's not an organization. The church is God's people, the body of Christ. The church is us. By the way, you might remember that if you ever start to complain about the church. Remember who you're pointing the finger at. Then go look in the mirror while you're doing it, right? No, the church is us. And if we have spiritual bugs in our life, it affects the church. But what I see in the church many times, we need to understand it for the church as a whole, there's another issue here that winter helps us deal with. There are, in the natural, there are annuals and perennials. I have some perennials that have already bloomed out in my yard, and there's a flower there. A perennial is something that lasts through the winter, and each year it comes back, and it grows and produces again. An annual is something that is only good for one season, only for one growing season, and then it dies. Many times in the church, we try to take an annual, something that God used, something that was blessed, something that really grew and brought fruitfulness, and we'll try to hang on to it and turn it into a perennial. We need to understand that there are many things that God uses for a season. Many times just for one growing season. And we try to hang on to those things, and it prevents new things that God wants to move us into. There are some spiritual perennials that we need to always have in our life. First of all, prayer. Prayer should always be a part of the life of every Christian. It is the heartbeat of the Christian life. Christian life is about a relationship with God. And that relationship is based on prayer. So prayer is a daily part of our life in every season, at all times and forever, prayer. I remember 20 years ago, and some of you will as well, 20 years ago, there were many, many churches across America who were having 6 o'clock prayer, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's right, a.m., some of you didn't know that hour existed. But anyway, 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning of the week. And, you know, at Grace, we were kind of slackers. We only had it 4 mornings a week. But I remember I was on staff here. We had early morning prayer 4 days a week at 6 o'clock. today, now I'm familiar with a lot of churches, and there may be some, but I'm telling you, I don't know of a single church that's doing that. Now, what I want you to understand is prayer is a perennial. Prayer is still a priority, and it is important. But getting to the church at 6 o'clock and having that 6 o'clock prayer meeting every morning, that was something that God blessed and used for a season, and it was fruitful, but there came a time when it was over. I didn't say prayer was over. I'm talking about that method of saying, okay, we're all going to meet here at 6 o'clock. Now, y'all can either say amen or you'd be here in the morning at 6 a.m., all right? You see, prayer is a perennial. We always need it, but God changes methods and things that He uses and the way that we do things often. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. When I went to pastor in Medill, Oklahoma, the church had been in existence for 45 years. And for those 45 years, I'm not exaggerating, they had sung the same 30 hymns. For 45 years, they sang the same 30 hymns. They had a list of 30 hymns. These were the songs they did year after year after year. Let me tell you, worship is a perennial in our life for all times. When they interviewed us to hire us, some of the people, they had a church-wide interview. Some of the people said, what are you going to do for worship? Are you going to shine the words up on the wall? And I said, yes. We're going to sing choruses and learn new songs and put the words up on the wall. Well, there was a couple of people I think didn't like it. But the rest of the church just broke out in applause. They were so ready for change and for newness, for something, you know, for that fresh spring to come. And let me tell you why. It had gotten to where they didn't even stand for worship anymore. This is a spirit-filled church. But they'd sing two songs out of the hymnal. Nobody clapped. Nobody was excited. The worship was just dead. Now, it's not because that those songs were not blessed or those songs weren't good. But it is because that they were hanging on to the past and unwilling to move into new things that God was doing. And you see, worship is a perennial we should always have in our life. But we need to realize that when God does a new thing, it's a good thing to be on board. Isaiah 43 and 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He says, forget the former things. You know, that's strong language. God says, forget the former things. Now, you can't just wipe it from your memory, but we are not to focus on the past. Anytime that we are looking to the past and longing to go back, and we're saying, oh, but if we could just do it like we did back then. No, we want to do it the way God wants to do it now and in our generation. He says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I have some perennial flowers that are already growing. I have some big pots that had annuals in them. And the only thing growing in the big pots right now is weeds. The annuals have died. They're not coming back. They were pretty last year. They're not coming back. And there are some things that some of God's people are trying to hang on to. They're not coming back. God is doing a new thing. Now, one year, I got a bright idea. I got me some plastic, and I covered my annuals in the flower bed. And we had a mild winter, and guess what? They survived. They bloomed again the next year. But you see, in the church, too often, we are just trying to nurse something and keep something going that God is no longer blessing. He wants us to move into new things. And when we refuse to let those old things die, when we just want to hang on to them, it keeps us, it hinders us from moving forward into spiritual spring. It keeps us locked into a spiritual winter. We need a little of that cowboy philosophy. If your horse is dead, it's time to dismount. See, spiritually, God uses the death of one thing to bring about new life and growth. Jesus said in John 12:24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now, we know that he was talking about his own death and how that we would all become the sons of God. But there's a spiritual principle that he is laying out here very plainly, that kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies. And then there is a great harvest that comes later. So, you see, we don't need to be afraid of the death of something when God has something new and fresh that's coming. Now, there was a time when I youth pastored here at Grace many years ago. We did choir tours with the youth, and it was a great thing. It was absolutely awesome. I remember when I first came, we just had a bunch of kids that went to the same church. We didn't have a group. And we did our first choir tour where we went out and sang at other churches and ministered. And when we got back from that choir tour, the youth group feeling was awesome. The young people had become a real group that loved each other, cared for each other. They didn't care what activity we were doing. We could have said, hey, we're going to meet at the church and have bologna sandwiches. And they would all showed up because they loved each other and they wanted to be together. And you know, over the next few years, we did these choir tours, and some of you were part of those, you remember. We had some great times. One of those, we took 65 people and went out in ministry and churches in Texas and Oklahoma, and just tremendous anointing and blessing of God upon that. It was so fruitful. And then it just faded away. It wasn't because we didn't try. It was because that season had passed. It was time for new things, different things that God was going to use. We had been doing Bible quiz, but all of a sudden, Bible quiz just took off. Bible quiz was just a competition program where you get young people to study and memorize the Word of God. And it was an awesome thing. Our church was the only large church in the nation that at least half of our youth group was involved in a Bible quiz program. Most churches, even large churches, they just have 3, 4, maybe 8 or 9, 10 kids involved in a Bible quiz program. And over half of our youth group was. We had 5 teams for several years, and I think we were the only church in the nation that had 5 teams in Bible quiz. And you know, at the time, I remember I just couldn't understand why everybody didn't do Bible quiz, because look how fruitful, how blessed it was. But you know, there came a time then when it just faded away. It was no longer the vehicle, the method that God was using to bless our youth group. When I youth pastored in Denison, Texas, my last youth ministry, At one time, we were doing Bible quiz, and we were also doing music and drama ministry with the youth group. And over time, much to my dismay, I began to feel impressed to quit doing the Bible quiz, to just shut it down. And it was the weirdest thing to me, because I thought that Bible quiz was such a great program. But I finally did what I felt impressed in my heart to do. I closed it down. I just said, you know what, we're going to focus on this music ministry and drama. And it just took off. But then not only did it do well, it changed our youth group. And through that, it changed the image of that youth group in the church. And it then changed the image of our youth group in that community, where there began to be a lot of people that came to the church just because of the impact that our youth group was having. It was an awesome thing. But you see, God blessed and he used this, and then he stopped using that because he's going to use this now. And church, the same thing is true for us today. You know, we as Spirit-filled people a lot of times look at old line denominations and we see their tradition and the things that they cling to, and we say, oh, how dead and how foolish. And yet often we are prone to the same kinds of things. We have a hard time moving forward and looking forward to the things that God wants to do in the here and now, and we hang on to things that are just annuals that God used for a season, but now there's something new that He wants to use, and we're resistant to it because we're still hanging on to the past. And I just want to say, listen, all across America and around the world, God is using small groups. Now, you may not like them, and you might say, I've been there, done that. I'm telling you, God is using and blessing small groups. A lot of things here at Grace that we don't do anymore. Many things have changed. That's okay. We are ready for new things, new growth, new harvest. And I believe that we have already entered into a spiritual spring. Just as I see the buds on those oak trees, I'm telling you, I see already that God is birthing new things. I see new growth beginning to happen. I'm not just talking about spiritually with eyes of faith. No, I'm telling you, I see it. It is beginning to happen. I see the growth that's taking place. You see, I look at our children's ministry and I see how that it's so exciting now and fresh and it's reaching kids. Kids are excited about coming to Grace Church. God is doing something in there. He is using that ministry. There is new life and growth that's taking place. Same with our youth department. There's new life, new growth, new things that are happening. It's exciting, church. You look at our ladies' ministry. The last 2 months, they've had more at their ladies' meeting than they have in 5 years. And it's not just about the numbers. There's something that's stirring. It's budding out. There's a new growth there that's taking place. I tell you, God is blessing it. There's something new. There's an anointing on our worship team and our music. It's happening. I'm telling you, the worship in this church is going to take off. I'm talking about having an encounter with God. I'm talking about the presence of God here in power. But it's happening. There's something that's moving and working. You know, I see with this coffee corner that we've done, you know, people are fellowshipping. People are enjoying one another, coming to church early and hanging out afterwards, just enjoying fellowship. God's blessing that and using that right now. Now, a few years ago, if you said, Pastor, you need to set up a coffee corner and get some tables and chairs out here, you know what I'd have said? I'd have said, no. And I'm conservative. You know, God has to push me and prod me sometimes. But, you know, when He keeps on, I get it sooner or later. And I want to encourage you. Some of you need to get it too. God wants to move us into new things. But if we resist and if we hang on to the old, then we wind up just staying in a spiritual winter. So many things in the church right now that God is just really blessing. Our building plans are coming together. And I believe in the very near future, you're going to see those plans and an artist's rendition of what that building is going to look like. I'm so excited about that and can't wait to have that where you can see it and pray and believe and picture that just be more a part of what's to come. Amen. Also, this year, we are going to mail out a promotional DVD to members of the community to let them know what God is doing at Grace Church so that people can see the ministries that are here and what God is doing here. Amen. And I'm excited about that. But you see, things are budding. I'm telling you, the growth is already beginning. And God has a great harvest. We're in a spiritual spring. It has already begun. And there is a spiritual summer that is coming, a season of growth and harvest. Amen. Pray. Believe with us. Amen. Spiritual winter is not all bad. It prepares us for new things. Prepares us for new growth. It also reveals faith. It reveals faithfulness. It reveals our hearts. It reveals loyalty, and it reveals leadership. And as I said earlier, how often it comes and how long we stay there is in large part determined by the choices we make. So what do you do when you find yourself in a spiritual winter? First, stay focused on the Word of God. It will keep you. It will keep you warm in a spiritual winter. If you stay in God's Word, you won't be stuck there. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And the first part here is going to tell us three things that you should never, ever, ever, ever do. But especially when you're in a spiritual winter, if you do these three things, you will stay there. In fact, if you do one of these three things, you will stay there. And I wish I had 30 minutes this morning just to talk about these three things. But listen, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. If you participate in any of those three, you will stay in a spiritual winter, and you will not come out until that bug is dealt with. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Did you see it right there, though? He says, in his season, he's going to yield his fruit in his season. He's not going to stay in that dead of winter, but he's going to come through it. There's going to be new fruit, new growth, because he stays in the Word of God. Second, we have to stay in prayer. When you're going through a difficult time and you're discouraged, it can be so hard, but that is the time that we need to pray the most. We have to keep believing and looking forward to the things that God will do. Amen. Back to John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, prayer is how we abide in Jesus. It is through our devotional life and our prayer life that we abide in him and he in us, and then we become fruitful. So what do? You keep praying. Stay close to Jesus. And third, we have to stay on the potter's wheel. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to show us where we need to change. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us if there are bugs in our life, things that would hinder our fruitfulness or things that would destroy the fruit in our life. Those things have to be dealt with. And let me tell you something. You will stay in that spiritual winter until you allow God to deal with those things. So we have to stay pliable in his hands. We have to be humble and be willing to change and receive correction and repent of things that would hinder or destroy our fruitfulness. Now, just as a side note for some of you here this morning, I can just hear some of you saying, well, you know, I'm getting older now. I am in the winter of life. No, no, no. This is for all of us. And let me assure you, Psalms 92 says that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. In verse 14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They'll still be fresh and green. It doesn't have any, listen, being in a spiritual winter or being in a spiritual spring has nothing to do with age. It's for all of us. Amen. Many of you this morning, you may feel like you're in a spiritual winter. You may feel like you've been there for a long time. Some may have been there for years. It is no accident that you're here this morning. This is a word for you. And I want to encourage you. It will pass. It will pass. This spring is for you also. I believe the Lord has you here this morning so that you can begin afresh and anew with him. There may be some things in your life that you need to let go of. But I want to encourage you, it will pass. If you allow God to deal with those issues, it will pass and you will move forward into a spiritual spring in your life. Stay close to God. Allow Him to work in your heart. Be willing to change where you need it. Now, as a church, we've come through a long spiritual autumn and winter, but I see new spiritual spring all around. And I want to tell you this morning is something that has happened in my heart and life personally as well. The past year and a half especially have been difficult for me personally as I even went through some health issues and things. But I'm telling you, God has just done a work in me. And, you know, I tend to just tell it like it is. And I'm telling you, God has changed me. Now, if you want to verify it, you can talk to my wife, but God has changed me. I'm not the same, and I'm not the same pastor. That's good news for you, all right? God is working in me and doing things in me, and I tell you, it is a spiritual spring in my heart, and I see a great harvest, a summer coming, but I see it for Grace Church, and I want to encourage you that it is for you as well this morning. Now, if you're not seeing it yet, let me encourage you with this scripture, Galatians 6, 9. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So don't give up. When you're in that spiritual winter and it's been hard and seems like it's been so long, don't give up. But realize your harvest is coming. In the King James, it says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. There's a season. It's due. I believe it's due for Grace Church. There's a season of fruitfulness that's due for Grace Church. Praise the Lord. And by the way, we have a lot of new people, and I just want to thank the Lord for you. For the new people, we are so grateful that God has brought you to Grace. We believe you are part of the new budding out and the growth and the future of what God is doing here. Amen. But don't give up. Don't faint. There is a due season. And for us as a church, that due season is now. Amen. Here's a word for us as a church. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Beginning with verse 11. I believe this is a prophetic word for us. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Church, that's for us. Our winter is past. I believe it is a day of new beginnings, new growth. Things are budding out. It is an exciting time for Grace Church. And I'm telling you, our best days are not behind. They are ahead. Amen. Spring is here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.